You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Mutinoff, coming to you live from our home here in Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Many, many, many things coming up for you today. Our friend, colleague, host of Amicus, a law review, Jim Santel, will be joining us after the 9:30 news. There's a lot to talk about with Mr. Santel.
Yes.
The Trump administration has all kinds of lawsuits working its way through various courts. And there is a judge who checked in this week about the Trump administration deporting college students.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty blistering.
Gotcha.
Pretty blistering. So Jim Santel is going to join us after the 9:30 news to talk about that, among many, many, many other things. In hour number two, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here to talk all things sports. Of course, one we will find out later today who the Brewers are going to face.
I can't even right now. I can't.
It's just too upsetting.
I don't want to play the Cubs because I don't want them here. And I don't want to play the Padres because Manny Machado is awful. That's what I'll just say for that moment right now.
Okay. Well, we will still find out later on today who the Brewers are going to face this coming Saturday. So stick around for that. J.R. Radcliffe with all kinds of updates coming up in hour number two. And we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Lost Boys edition. It's a good one. I love this one. So stick around for that. Of course, it is underway, our multi-state text to win, go for the green and gold contest. So here is what we need you to do. Grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app. 5, 4, 3, 2. Okay, now it's open. Text in the word purple.
Oh.
P-U-R-P-L-E. Text in the word purple. Purple is the word you have to text in until 10 o'clock this morning. That gets you in the running for our daily prize. Everybody could use a little extra cash right now. $200 in cash, gold jewelry. That's our daily prize for today and tomorrow. These are the last 2 days of the contest.
That's right.
And then our grand prize. Everyone is in the running for the grand prize. 2 club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay in Minnesota November 23rd at noon with a gas card to get you there and back. It's worth $1,550. So text in the word purple. P-U-R-P-L-E. Text in the word purple. Ooh, I love to see those entries. Sean from Madison and Jill and Madison and Phil and Mount Pleasant and Mary and Kenosha. Keep those coming in. Purple is the word. P-U-R-P-L-E. Again, you have until 10 o'clock and good luck. Wanted to start off with the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. That's coming up too.
And that's a spring one.
Yes.
That will be, and that's,
I mean, going to be the first of the first, right?
It's like 6 months away now.
It's going to be here before you know
it's
it.
It's a primer, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Appeals Court Judge Maria
Lazar Pointer
has announced she is running for a spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Since her election, this is from the Wisconsin Examiner, since her election to the District 2 Court of Appeals in 2022, she has been a reliable vote for right-wing causes controlled by a 3-to-1 conservative majority.
And so far, now Rebecca Bradley's going, whew.
There's another me to take my place.
Yeah, because Rebecca Bradley, who is currently sitting on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, made the announcement a few weeks ago that she will not be seeking re-election, even though it seemed that when Susan Crawford was elected, it seemed like she was moving towards there, but based on the fact that she had raised no money.
Yeah, that didn't look good.
Experts had said, she's probably not. And then she decided, which is, honestly, I mean, I don't think Maria Lazar, is any real difference from Rebecca Bradley. But her election night comments were so, in my opinion, unprofessional.
Absolutely.
And, like, to say political is an understatement. It was basically listening to a Donald Trump
Acolyte.
Actually, I wouldn't even go further than that. But yeah, it was shocking to me the way she was speaking. She wasn't even trying to hide her disdain for the left, period, and her colleagues. So her not being a part of this is a better thing for the court. But I don't know how with what Judge Lazar brings to the table with regard to her decisions and her relationships. I don't know she's going to be much of a difference.
Well, we can look at who supports her.
Yeah. Oh, let's look at that.
Her endorsements.
Yes.
Include former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman.
Oh, you mean
you remember Mike Gableman?
Soon to possibly not be lawyer anymore?
Michael Gableman recently agreed to have his law license suspended for 3 years over that debacle that was it $2.1 million worth of taxpayer money that we paid Michael Gableman to find all the fraud in the 2020 election, none of which came to pass, by the way. They didn't find any fraud.
And Robin Voss had to say that the 2020 election was safe and secure.
Yeah, which I'm sure had to have been really painful.
He hated doing.
I'm sure.
Still washing his mouth out with lava soap.
So Ms. Lazar has the endorsement of Michael Gableman. Jim Troupas, he's also facing criminal charges for his role in the plots to cast those fake elector votes on behalf of Donald Trump. And another supporter, Bob Spindell.
Well,
also a Republican member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission who cast one of those fraudulent ballots and has regularly used his job to spread conspiracy theories about elections.
Because that's what you do.
Well, if you want the party endorsement, you got to go along with the party line. Good heavens, Trump brought this up when he talked to all of our military leaders the other day, that he won the 2020 election. He is still ranting about that, you guys. Still.
Well, yeah, because when you're up there for that long, you don't have much to talk about. And also, I wanted to make sure, I knew this was a fact, but I want to be looking at it, and this is coming from WisPolitics as part of the press release. She was an assistant DA for then Waukesha DA Brad Schimmel. So she has, just short of going out with Daniel Kelly in high school, she has all sorts of ties to the Republican Party in the past. She also defended Act 10, the anti-union legislation that, along with 32, gutted our teachers' union and no longer allows them to collectively bargain. So she defended that one as well. And
she also has a lot of support from Pro-Life Wisconsin.
Yes.
Which is dedicated to banning all abortions in the state. And I believe Pro-Life Wisconsin also wants to get rid of all forms of birth control.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And except for the Rhythm method, because that's so reliable. Just ask my cousin with five kids. Oh, my anyway. God.
She also has been known to give talks to, and I can't believe it, because it's the 1900s, the Federalist Society. So, yeah. Yeah.
That's still a very powerful organization.
Yes, it is. But
we can make jokes about it, but that's a.
I'm not making jokes about it. I'm just saying when I hear the Federalist Society, I also expect an old guy just tell me to get off his lawn. Like, you don't hear them talked about a lot. So, yeah, she will be a expected replacement of probably Rebecca Bradley's intentions and opinions.
You can swap them out, you know. Here is what Maria Lazar said, quote, "We need to draw a line in the sand and stop the destruction of our courts, especially our state Supreme Court. We are bombarded by political ads for a judicial position." That is true. "My candidacy will be different," unquote. Oh, really?
Sure.
How will it be different? She says, "I'm not a member of a political party." "My opponent spent years in the legislature." Okay.
All right.
On the other side, Taylor's campaign manager, just like Rebecca Bradley, Maria Lazar has spent her career rolling back people's rights, attacking reproductive health care and voting rights, and doing the bidding of powerful special interests, speaking of the Federalist Society, and her billionaire friends. If elected, she will become the most extreme member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I just find it interesting that they need someone ideologically super far right because Hagedorn has turned out to be such an enormous disappointment to them.
I mean, Hagedorn is just doing what,
Seems to kind of like follow law.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Logic, law, application of past decisions to new decisions.
Precedent.
It's just, oh, well, which by the way, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas said that precedent doesn't really matter anymore.
What a shocker there. Oh, I'm stunned.
Yeah, it's almost like they can just do
precedent,
whatever they want.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that. That's something we'll be talking about with Jim Santel.
I'm sure. It's so exhausting.
If you are just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, we were talking about the news that conservative Judge Maria Lazar is running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. So far, she is the only conservative to announce for the 2026 race. She used her messaging when she came out with her ad announcing her candidacy to attack District 4 Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, who is running with the backing of Democrats.
Mm-hmm. And I've said this before, and I'll keep saying this. I'm not a fan of this kind of election.
As far as all the money coming in?
Well, the money coming in, the fact that a judge has to take sides to get votes, that a judge has to make the most political statements without being political because these are supposed to be non-political appointments.
Right.
I would love to say, well, just let the governor appoint them. But unfortunately, we live in a day and age where that's not a good idea anymore either. So, I mean, who knows? Chris Taylor could win next year. And if the Republicans still control, well, they will at that point, they will still control the legislature. Maybe they'll just find a way to not even
seat the judge.
I mean, right now we're still waiting for a congresswoman to get sworn in the U.S. Congress, but they're not doing it, Jane, because they're just so busy.
No, they're not gonna swear in that Democrat in the House.
Yeah,
because she could cast the deciding vote to release the Epstein files. And if we've learned nothing, we have learned that the Republicans really, 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 really don't want that to get released.
It's really weird because it was only like a year ago that where they were saying, why aren't they releasing the Epstein files right now?
We want the files.
We want the files right now. Give me the files. And now Cash Patel is saying, what do we really know about this? I mean, let's take it down a notch. Let's get some brunch.
It's fine.
Let's talk about stuff.
Other stuff.
Epstein files. I don't know who's Epstein. I've never heard of this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of them. And it's so frustrating. Is there a wall, Jane, in this room I can just hit my face against for a while?
Do you want something soft? Well, we have the insulate, you know, we have the sound panels up on this wall. You could try it. That would be less damaging. Otherwise, there's the hardwood door right behind you.
Well, let's just start with the soft panel and go from
there. Start there and
also
work your way up.
And also, I know I'm sounding very dour, and so I'll just say this again. MyVote.WI.gov. Find out your representatives. Let them know what you're feeling.
Make sure you're registered to vote.
Make sure you are, because the primary for the spring election will be sooner than the spring election. So you want to find out if you are still registered. Do that. MyVote.WI.gov today.
Remember when the president said, I don't know anything about Project 2025, except I know there are parts in it I don't like. Guess who he's meeting with today? The author of said Project 2025, which he's never heard of. All the details coming up. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call, text, the number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our multi-state text to win contest is in its second to last day.
Penultimate.
Ooh, good word.
Penultimate.
Fancy.
Jim Santel's in the waiting room right now.
Are you trying to impress him?
He heard me say penultimate, and I think I just got into law school.
I'm sure that's just an automatic entry. Our second to last day for the go for the green and gold multi-state text to win contest. So you have until 10 o'clock to get out your phone, open up the Civic Media app, text in the word purple, P-U-R-P-L-E, spelling counts. Purple, P-U-R-P-L-E. Text in the word purple. You're in the running for that $200 in cash and gold jewelry. And then up for the grand prize as well. Great, great, great prize. Two club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay, Minnesota, November 23rd at noon with a gas card to get you there and back. Purple is the word, P-U-R-P-L-E. Enter the word purple. By 10 o'clock, Tom Hartman will have a new word for you from 11 to 1, 11 and 1.
Yeah.
Then Todd Alba, 3 o'clock hour, Maggie Dawn, 5 p.m. hour, Pete Schwabba wraps it up at Nightlight, 7 o'clock hour. So whole bunch of chances. Second last day. Get in there. Purple.
Like rain. Or
yes.
People eater.
Oh, that. Yes, that too. Mm-hmm. Jim Santel is going to be joining us in just a little bit. Our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings across the network. But we did want to share with you that President Trump, meeting with Project 2025 architect Russell Vogt.
Jane, I just want to say something really quick. I know you've been talking a lot about Project 2025 on this show.
For months.
Months, actually, probably about a more than a year now.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this book. I don't know anything about it. My friends have never heard of this stuff. I don't know why you insist on making such a big deal out of something that doesn't seem to be important. Why do we even pay attention to this? Was it Project 2025?
It is called Project 2025.
I feel like you're wasting our time right now.
Well, see, if you actually looked at Project 2025.
I don't read, Jane.
Well, that's okay. Take my word for it. They are already implementing many things from Project 2025.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Many things have already been done.
Yeah.
And we keep heading that way. Just as a reminder, Donald Trump claimed back when we first started talking about Project 2025.
Yeah.
He had never heard of it. Didn't know anything about it, except he knew that he didn't like parts of it. So how he didn't know anything about it and yet knew there were parts he didn't like, I have questions about that. But here is what he put on social media. President of the United States, I have a meeting today with Russ Vogt, he of Project 2025 fame, the guy you never heard of, to determine which of the many Democrat agencies are these only Democratic. Like the EPA is a Democratic agency?
You know, started by Richard Nixon.
Oh. To determine which of the many Democratic agencies, most of which are a political scam, he recommends be cut, and whether or not those cuts will be temporary or permanent. I can't believe radical left Democrats gave me this unprecedented opportunity. They are not stupid people. So maybe this is their way of wanting to quietly and quickly make America great again.
Oh, my God.
So, Project 2025, President Trump, is going to make America great again, is what you're saying.
Secretly.
The Project 2025 you knew nothing about,
didn't
have any connections with, except for the parts that you knew you didn't like, even though you never read it. But he's going to meet with them today.
And Jane, what happened was the Democrat Party took over all of these agencies long ago so they could infiltrate them. So then President Trump could come in on his first term, then get voted out by Joe Biden in 2020. That's right. He lost the election in 2020.
He did.
And then get reelected in 2024, only to come back around, allow the government to get shut down. Therefore, he and Russell Vogt, lead author of Project 2025, a book I've never heard of, can go in and shut down these agencies, which the Democrat Party secretly infiltrated years ago, so they can all make it happen, because we're all making America great again.
It's amazing to me. There are all kinds of people that work for the federal government.
Yes.
Many different stripes of people.
Correct. Yes.
I don't understand this assumption that everyone who works for the federal government is a Democrat. And what they are doing is going to harm everyone,
mm-hmm.
no matter how you vote.
Yes.
No matter how you vote.
Yes.
These policies and these changes and these tariffs are bad for all of us little people, because it's us little people that it's going to harm.
Yeah.
The Russell Vogts and the Tim Scotts and the even Chuck Schumer, they're all going to be just fine.
They're all millionaires.
Exactly.
They're all millionaires, if not more. Yeah. This is about taking advantage of the fact that we are a people. And when I say we are the people, I don't even mean people who didn't. I mean, everyone. We live in a society where news happens at such a rate that we can't keep up with everything. And sometimes you got to shrug your shoulder and say, I got work to do.
Yeah.
So I can't really pay attention to this.
And we get that.
And I understand that completely.
Yes.
And we knew that by when Charlie Kirk was tragically murdered, people were saying he seemed like a nice guy and had no idea what his real message was about, because not everyone can pay attention to it all the time. And we get that. But what's frustrating is that folks who voted for Donald Trump, who don't make $1 billion, are going to have their services cut, are going to lose tax money. It's going to be bad.
For all of us. Little people.
Yep.
News is coming up next when we return. Our friend, colleague, host of Amicus, the Law Review, Jim Santel, will be here. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You still have about 25 minutes to get in the word purple via the Civic Media app. Text in the word P-U-R-P-L-E, purple, is the word for this hour, part of our multi-state text to win. Go for the green and gold contest. 2 days left, today and tomorrow. Up for grabs today, our daily prize, $200 in cash. We could also all use a little extra money. And gold jewelry. And then the grand prize, 2 club-level indoor seats. Nice. See Green Bay in Minnesota, November 23rd at noon. A gas card to get you there and back worth $1,550. The purple is the word. You have to send in until 10 o'clock, P-U-R-P-L-E, and then your next chance in the 11 and 1 o'clock hours with Tom Hartman, 3 o'clock hour with Todd Alba, 5 o'clock with Maggie Dawn, and then Pete Schwabba wraps it up during Night Light in the 7 o'clock hour multi-state. Go for the green and gold. Text to win contest. Good luck. Purple is the word. He joins us every Thursday at this time to talk all things legal. Jim Santel, our friend, colleague, and host of Amicus, a Law Review. You can catch it Saturday mornings. I highly encourage you to listen from 9 to 11 across the network. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Jane, Greg, good to be with you once again. And I, too, am befuddled by this Project 2025 emphasis, huh? Can't figure it out.
Never
can't
heard of it. He right? never heard of it. He knew he didn't like it, parts of it, but he had never heard of it before. And now today he seems to recognize that Russell Vogt, right. the head of the Office of Management and Budget, was the lead author of Project 2025. Some of us, I guess, are just slow learners, Jim.
Right, right. And apparently about 70% of Project 2025 has actually been implemented
yeah.
by a president who purports to know nothing about it. So amazing how the world works, isn't it?
Isn't it?
I don't understand what you guys are talking about, man. I've only read three books: The Da Vinci Code. I read it again, and portions of the Bible when it fits my narrative. So I don't know. You guys can talk about whatever you want.
You'll just take our word for it, okay? Just take our word for it. A lot of things I wanted to talk to you about today, Jim. We call it the wheel of lawsuits, the wheel of litigation yes. with the Trump administration, because there are so many different lawsuits going on. But a couple have really jumped out at me. This one from U.S. District Judge William Young,
yes.
who found that the Trump administration wrongly ordered the deportation of pro-Palestinian students. Now, I believe this ties to one case in particular where a young woman had written an opinion piece in a college newsletter, mm-hmm. never mentioned Hamas or the Palestinian people or anything like that, but they grabbed her. They grabbed her off the street and tried to deport her. She was not deported, but it's amazing. The judge wrote, "Alone, I have nothing but my sense of duty. Together, we, the people of the United States, have our magnificent Constitution." The judge went on to explain why he ruled against the administration, saying, quote, "This court finds as fact and concludes as a matter of law that Secretaries Noem and Rubio and their agents and subordinates acted in concert to misuse the sweeping powers of their offices to target non-citizen pro-Palestinians for deportation, primarily on account of their First Amendment-protected political speech. They did so," continues the judge, "to strike fear into similarly situated non-citizen pro-Palestinian individuals, curbing lawful speech and intentionally denying such people the freedom of speech.
There's a lot there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Judge Young, again, takes his place among this increasing number of judges that we've spoken about at great length on this wonderful broadcast, who are saying no, right? I think one of the great bastions, and this is a good news in an otherwise very challenging Thursday morning, you have federal district court judges appointed for life. This one happens to be appointed not by a Democrat, but a Republican. His name is Ronald Reagan. He used to be the president of the United States of America.
I've heard of him.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Even though Greg purports not to have heard of Project 2025, I suspect he has heard of Ronald Reagan, who appointed this good judge. You may recall also that this is also the judge who ran afoul of two Supreme Court justices who chastised him for not following their clear directions when it came to some NIH grants. And he said, you know what, I never intended to disrespect you. I just didn't know that the shadow docket, when you issue a one-line statement about what should happen here in another case unrelated to the NIH, I didn't know I had to follow that. And then to add even more craziness to this already catastrophic series of events, you've got former Justice Breyer weighing in and saying, no, Judge Young is a good judge. How could he know? You don't know what you're doing, Supreme Court. So that's the backstory behind all this. But Judge Young, again, my other favorite piece of this is, Jane and Greg, 161 pages, okay? And you have highlighted some of the most telling language here. What's going on there? Why is he writing this? He is also, by virtue of the fact that he's spending 161 pages, also sending a message to the Supreme Court that criticized him, that seems not to be able to write more than one sentence. Here's one federal district court judge with two law clerks. Supreme Court justices have four, maybe five of them. He spends the time on this very important First Amendment case explaining his reasons, giving justification, telling the American public why it is he's doing what he's doing, creating an appellate record if indeed this goes up. All the things that what? Let's all say it together. The Supreme Court should be doing,
yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah.
And I have to believe that in and of itself, even the extensive nature of what he has written, the content first, most important, but also the fact that he spent the time in coming to the conclusion that the government, once again, is in violation of the Constitution of the United States of America, implicitly saying that just because you're not a citizen doesn't mean it doesn't apply. You've got First Amendment rights, as did this petitioner, and you are wrong to deport her, to try to shut her up. Good for him. And then he also goes beyond just his ruling and says this, as you know well. He says, I fear President Trump believes the American people are so divided that today they will not stand up for, fight for, defend our most precious constitutional values so long as they are lulled into thinking their own personal interests are not affected.
Yes.
Finishes up by saying, is he correct? That is a stunning thing for a judge to say. That is a call for action, which, again, federal district court judges are generally not inclined to do. This judge, like so many others, he is angry with what has happened to the judiciary. He's angry about what's happening with our courts. And he is angry, yes, in a nonviolent way with the way our president is behaving. And he sent that message loudly and clearly.
If you're just joining us on Matt Nair on Air, Jim Santel is here, our colleague here at Civic Media, host of Amicus, a law review Saturday mornings 9 to 11 across the network. You really should check out the show. It's great. The other thing that jumped out at me on this, Jim, is he included a threatening postcard that he had received at the very top of this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which essentially said, yeah, Trump has tanks and guns. What do you got?
Yeah. And I suspect once again, his law clerks, I'm guessing Judge Young, like me, is probably not sufficiently technologically adept to figure out how to post that in the official way that these things have got to be posted. I know that I worked for a federal judge many years ago, but he did it because he wanted to make the point once again that, yes, number one, judges are getting threatened in America for what they're doing. And number two, is there an answer to that issue? Basically, this person who sends this scurrilous, horrific postcard saying, go ahead, enforce what you want to do, big boy. That's bullying at the highest level.
Yes, the threat.
And he says, you know what? Yeah, you know what? I do have something. And it's called integrity, and it's called the Constitution. And it is called A Commitment to What America is All About. You plainly don't understand that at all. It is important that he, again, even above the case caption, that's where it shows up.
Yeah.
He's got this thing printed. It's sort of a typographical format. He's making a number of much related points here, all of which should be consumed. Even if you don't read every single one of those 161 pages, it's there and it's accessible.
Well,
and it's a lesson to America, yeah. Right?
And the other thing that jumped out at me about this, Jim, was because, you know, the federal government, the goon squad now that is going out across America calling themselves ICE, and they're allowed to mask themselves ostensibly because they are getting threatened and they're being doxxed. And while we have judges, we have election workers, we have all kinds of people across our country who have been threatened and doxxed, should all of our judges be hiding their identities? If that logic applies to ICE, then shouldn't this apply to our federal, to all of our judges?
Right.
They're at risk.
Young, right. Absolutely. My many other judges, a whole lot more visible. Their homes are hopefully not in the public domain, although those could be inappropriately posted by people. But their federal courthouses are, with their chambers numbers on them. And we know that there have been federal judges whose families have not only been threatened, we have a judge whose son was killed at her own home, right?
Yes.
And so I think the point you make, Jane, cannot be overstated. Here are judges who are willing to say the president is wrong and basically calling upon the people of the United States of America not to rise up, but to push back and say there's something more important than your own ego, Mr. President, and doing it, signing it. Here I am, and being very visible who he is. We've got these other quasi-military and military people descending upon the cities of America, and we don't know their names. We don't know their faces. It is completely inconsistent. And frankly, even the Department of Justice, that I recall, there are some very limited opportunities, yes, options, where you can, in fact, mask your face. These are not those.
This ain't it.
You want transparency, right?
Yeah, this isn't it. We don't know if the ICE guys, if they're all January 6th defendants.
Right.
They could be all Proud Boys. They could be all Oath Keepers. They could be all 3%ers. We don't know anything about these people. That's not good. It's dangerous.
The American people should expect more. We know also that the solicitations, including some bonuses,
$50,000.
Out to everybody across the country. Come in, we'll give you some money, and we'll give you a gun, and we'll let you parade around the streets of Chicago and Los Angeles and D.C.
We'll give you a gun, and you can go practice on people. Because that's what Donald Trump said when he addressed our military earlier, or that's what Hegseth said.
No, that's what the president said.
What we should be using our cities as training grounds.
Yeah.
That sounds really dangerous.
And sort of an offshoot of this, when I think of things like that, I just think of our government saying we don't have enough money to pay for X, Y, and Z. Our farmers are getting constantly screwed over for whatever, because they can, because the government's been doing that to them for decades. But yes, we can pay individuals bonuses to illegally round up individuals who should not be arrested, or, as I'm now just seeing, just beating people up in the street. So. Yeah.
And manufacturing felonies. I've seen a couple of things in the last couple of days where there have been some protesters. There was a 69-year-old man who apparently moved his arm and inadvertently touched an ICE agent. A 69-year-old man shoved him to the ground, jumped on him. Now he's being charged with a felony.
Right. And again, what you've got there is complicity, right? Not only on the streets of America, but charging decisions made. Some of those, thankfully, there are still some people inside the government with some cooler minds who look at these things and say, can't do it. But that, again, as you often said, it's the investigation, it's the charge that is the punishment. If in the end it doesn't result in a conviction, that's not the point. And that's not the point that the president wants to make.
We're going to continue our conversation with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, the Law Review, Saturdays 9 to 11 across the network. Keep it right here. We are the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach. President Young Person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just about eight-ish minutes left to text in the word purple. P-U-R-P-L-E. Purple is the word for our multi-state text to win. Go for the green and gold contest. You have to use the Civic Media app in order to partake. So text in the word via the app. Text in the word purple. P-U-R-P-L-E. You're in the running for our daily prize. $200 cash and gold jewelry. And then the grand prize, those great indoor club level seats to see Green Bay and Minnesota November 23rd noon game. Gas card to get you there and back.
My goodness.
I know. We're going to take care of you. text in the word purple, P-U-R-P-L-E, and then you'll have your next chance with Tom Hartman in the 11 o'clock hour, so stick around for that. Jim Santel joins us every Thursday at this time. He is our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Listen, it is worth it. Absolutely. Yes. Jim, we wanted to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court begins its new term on Monday. Are they actually going to talk about things like like the public gets to hear, or are they just going to issue all shadow dockets and not have to explain anything?
And we will see, won't we, Jane? We'll see what exactly. They hardly went out of business, didn't they? I think we were talking back in June about the fact that, well, now they're going to go quiet. But in fact, they've been issuing all of these executive or these affirmations, I should say, of executive orders throughout the. So it hardly seems as if there's anything new going on. But Monday is the first Monday in October, and that means that the new Supreme Court term, it's 2025-2026, it gets underway. They do have oral arguments. Believe it or not, the Supreme Court is still doing that quaint historical thing.
Oh,
it's like just calling attorneys in.
That's
right?
So historical.
It's like when your favorite team wears their old jersey. They're doing it retro.
Retro court.
There it is.
Yeah.
Right. And indeed, they're starting Monday. And they again, this is the way it should work, which is the Supreme Court says, okay, the lower court judgments are completed. Let's review those now. Let's have briefs. Let's have the lawyers, can imagine this, let's have the lawyers write lots and lots of paper about all these things. We'll read all those. We'll have our law clerks summarize those. We'll call you in. We'll have oral argument about all this. And yes, they're starting that once again. They've got about 34, 35 cases on their docket right now. The interesting thing about that, Jane and Greg, is that by now, usually they've got maybe about 40 or more, usually and then about 60. My guess is that they're waiting because many of these shadow docket opinions are now going to be coming back. Now that the lower courts have reduced them to judgment, it may well be, we don't know, we know some of them are already on the docket, it may well be that they're anticipating now finally reviewing the substance of these as opposed to issuing these one-sentence orders and undermining, again, the way that we do it. But yes, indeed, they're back in business. It's everything. Yes, tariffs is on the schedule, right? And again, whether or not they should overturn the lower courts that have said, you can't do this, Mr. President, that'll be a fascinating one to see if John Roberts wants to once again amend the Constitution, Article 1, that says, who is responsible for tariffs?
Congress.
Let's all say it together. Congress. Right, exactly.
That's
they're the ones who do this.
That's their only job. It's the power of the purse.
That's their only job, right? Not to be outdone, it may be that that voting rights case from Louisiana, that one that's called Calais, remember that name, C-A-L-L-A-I-S? And this may be the one in which the Supreme Court is dabbling with the notion, hold on, of basically finding the Voting Rights Act unconstitutional in violation of the 14th Amendment. Not making that up. We hope, of course, hoping and praying they do not do that, but it's sort of on the docket again, voting rights, right? If you're not satisfied with that, you can find some solace, perhaps, or not solace in the fact that they're also looking at things like conversion therapy, roundly dismissed by every legitimate medical authority on the face of the planet. Can that be legislated away? That sort of thing. Also looking at, yes, transgender women in sports, transgender sports issues on the Supreme Court docket. Campaign finance is there. There's a religious case involving a prisoner who had his dreadlocks cut by his jailers, and he's alleging that that's in violation of his religious rights under a statute. Religion is back. So all kinds of things on the docket. And again, you even as they say them out loud, Jane, going back to your comments in the prior segment, you think about all these things. Yes, Supreme Court's got to resolve differences. Where is our Congress? Wouldn't you be a whole lot more satisfied if the representatives, that they themselves are wrestling with these social issues? And again, 535 members of the people in our Congress, senators and House of Representatives members, are wrestling with these things instead because of Congress's default and an overwrought president who does whatever he wants. Now, policy decisions being made in America by the United States Supreme Court. That was not the design. That was not it. We'll see how that plays out again in this coming term starting on Monday.
I'm surprised Clarence Thomas can pull himself away from all his free around the world trips on fancy yachts and stuff. He's got other priorities, Jim. This is really, this is going to cut into his vacation time.
It is annoying. And maybe he's reading Project 2025. We don't know. But we do know that he's also pontificating out there and saying things like, Jane, precedent, huh? That's an interesting concept, right? Maybe we should be rethinking that. This is the man who, again, in the last term also said, maybe we need to rethink the enforcement of Brown versus Board of Education. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh, my
and
is
again,
right.
It is a lot. It is a lot, as you often say. And we'll see what the Supreme Court delivers to us. We'll talk about every one of those. And you can also hear them argue. You actually hear the Supreme Court justices talking with the attorneys. You can go online and hear Sonia Sotomayor spar with Amy Coney Barrett and that sort of thing. And then, of course, we'll anticipate opinions very, very soon.
Join Jim Santel every Saturday, 9 to 11. The show is called Amicus, A Law Review. It is fantastic. Please check it out and give him a follow. Jim Santel, thank you so much, my friend. We will see you next Thursday.
Always a pleasure, Jane and Greg. Take care.
We got news coming up next, and then we are going to talk tariffs and Wisconsin farmers. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up in New Zealand if you have the app. We are the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.